Brothers and sisters, would you turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Kings chapter 4. To 2 Kings chapter 4. If you're able, when you're ready, would you please stand for the reading of God's holy and inspired word, 2 Kings chapter 4. Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house?" And she said, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go outside. Borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and not too few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons, and pour into all these vessels. When one is full, set it aside." So she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another." Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest." And then would you turn over to Matthew chapter 25. Verse 14. "For the kingdom of heaven will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the one talent came forward, saying, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seeds. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." His master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Amen. To the reading of God's word, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for these words of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you, Holy Spirit, would help us to heed them, that you would speak to us, that you would work in us, that we would be faithful, fruitful servants. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus has 2 days until the cross. He will die. He will be buried. He will rise again. He will ascend into heaven. And then there will be this, what we can describe as a long period until he comes again. We call that period the millennium. Now, during that time, Jesus will save his people. He will maintain and govern the church by his word and power. He will guard and defend his people. He will enrich the church with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he will intercede for us to the Father, all while restraining and conquering his and our enemies. And with this long period, Jesus gives instructions to the church. He gives us our mission: go therefore and make disciples of all nations. He gives us the means: baptism and the Lord's Supper, the preaching and teaching of the word, and prayer. And he gives us gifts. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us spiritual gifts. He gives us officers. But the question is, what should the disposition of the church be? What should the disposition of the church be? Or another way of putting it, what should the outlook of the church be during this time between Christ's ascension and his second coming? What should be our outlook? What should be our mindset? Now, verses 1 through 13, which we call the parable of the virgins, or the parable of the 10 virgins, teaches us that our mindset should be one of watchfulness. We're to watch, we're to be looking forward, we're to be expecting the return of our Lord Jesus. But then we come into this parable, the parable of the talents, and we learn here that we're also to be active. We're to be workers as well as watchers. This life is not one of ease. We're to serve the Lord as we wait for him. And so we come into this parable. I want you to see, first of all, the distribution in verses 14 and 15. Jesus says, "For the kingdom of heaven will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away." So here's a wealthy man, and he has entrusted his property to his 3 servants. He's given them talents. Now, all the commentators agree that a talent is roughly 20 years worth of labor. So this is of salary. This is not a small amount. But here's this man, and he trusts and entrusts his property to his servants, and then he goes away. It couldn't be any more obvious. Jesus, 2 days, he's going to die, he's going to leave his church, and he has given his gifts that he expects to be used in his service. Now, just as an aside, this is a privilege, isn't it? This is a privilege for servants to be entrusted by their master. Jesus is preeminent. All things were made through him and for him. In him we live and move and have our being. He is the head of the church. He's the one that's going to build his church. He's the one that's going to bless his people. And yet, he's entrusted us to be ambassadors to serve him. We are broken vessels. And he doesn't care. I remember reading a few years ago a book, excellent book, called Happy Odyssey, about Sir Adrian Carton de Weert, who was actually Belgian, but he fought for the British Army in the Boer War and the First World War and the Second World War. He was shot, believe it or not, 13 times during those 3 wars, in the face, the head, the stomach, the ankle, the leg, the hip, the ear, and the fingers. Well, the fingers doesn't count. He bit his own fingers off. He had to bite them off. You can look him up afterwards. He had 1 arm. A sniper shot his wristwatch up his arm. They had to amputate his arm. In the Boer War, he got shrapnel in his eye. He actually went out the next day, went back into the same battle, and got shot in the same eye that he got shrapnel. So he's got this pat. He's a one-armed, one-eyed man. Sir Adrian Carton de Weert. If there is ever a broken vessel, and Sir Winston Churchill, the Prime Minister, wanted Adrian Carton de Weert to be his ambassador, to be his representative, to be his right-hand man, both in the Second World War and afterwards. And that's what this is. He knows that we're broken vessels, and yet he condescends to use even us servants in his service. And being broken vessels, he's given us, he's equipped you with talents. He's gifted us to varying degrees, but he's given each of us gifts to be used for ministry. Did you hear that? He has gifted you that you may enter ministry. Not the ministry necessarily, but ministry. The Paul says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. Why? Why did he give apostles? Why did he give shepherds, or you could translate that, pastors and teachers? Why did he do that? Why did Jesus do that? Answer, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. He has given you. Yes, he gives pastors gifts and elders gifts and teachers, but he has given you gifts for ministry. Now, what are these talents? The parable doesn't specify what these talents are. I would suggest that it's anything that can be used to serve God, anything that can be used to serve the church, anything that can be used, as Paul says, for building up the body of Christ. So I think the first and most obvious talent we have is a knowledge of the gospel. He's given us a knowledge of the gospel that we're to spend. We're to teach our children. We're to tell our colleagues and our friends about the knowledge of the good news of Jesus Christ. He's given gifts of preaching and teaching that might not necessarily be ordained ministry, but he's given the gifts of teaching. We have Sunday school teachers in this church. I think there's other gifts as well. Listening. Bearing one another's burdens. I've mentioned before in our church in Wales, there was a group of ladies who got together and systematically went round the church, visiting the ladies in the church, ministering to them, doing the work of visitation. I've mentioned before the importance of Titus chapter 2, ladies. God's design is for the older ladies, the more mature ladies in Christ, to disciple, to shepherd, to train up the younger ladies. I think of the gift of encouragement, Barnabas, the gift of counseling, the gift of cooking, the gift of music. We're hearing Nathaniel play the piano wonderfully for us. The gift of technology, administration. He's given us houses to be used for his kingdom. He's given us money to be used for his kingdom. Most of the time, I think it's just a case of time. We think of those people at Terrific Tuesday. What special gift do most of them need? Really, it's just the time and the decision to be there. Some of the nurseries. A lot of the times, gifts aren't grandiose. It's that saying, everyone wants to save the earth, but nobody wants to help mum do the dishes. You have gifts. Think about how and when and where you can serve the Lord. Now, look at the positive response. We've seen the distribution, but I want you to see the positive response in verse 16. Look at verse 16. He who had received the 5 talents went and at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. Verse 19. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I've made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I've made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Now notice, first of all, that these 2 servants were active, but they were active at once. The ESV says at once. If you've got the NASB, it says immediately. They didn't say, well, you know, we're young, and we'll leave all that stuff to the grown-ups. They can do the work of ministry, and we'll think about it perhaps when we embark on a career. They didn't say, well, we're too busy at the moment, we'll wait till retirement when we've got more time in our hands. They didn't say, well, let us think about this, let us be strategic. Give us 2 to 3 years just to think about the best way of serving, and then we'll get on it. No, they went at once to serve their master. Notice that one was given more talents than the others. It doesn't matter. There's no criticism. There's no blame. It doesn't matter. God is not a socialist. God sovereignly administered the amount of gifts that he wanted to each servant. And those with less gifts were to use them. And they were just as praiseworthy as the one with the more gifts. Notice in verse 21 and 23 that the response was exactly the same. The 5 talents, the 2 talents, it didn't matter how much they had. The response was exactly the same. That's God's economy. That's like in Mark chapter 12, the widow's penny. When the Lord Jesus commends her for putting in the offering box, giving all that she didn't give as much as all the millionaires who gave out their abundance, she gave of what she had. That's God's economy. We will be judged not according to fruitfulness, but according to faithfulness. And look at the wonderful response in verse 21. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." You can imagine the servant saying, "But master, my best efforts were tainted. I wish I'd done so much more. I could never serve you as you deserve. Still, well done, good and faithful servant." You can imagine him saying, "Yeah, but the talents were from you in the first place. And even as I was serving you, I was like a child, and you were guiding my hand, showing me how to write. It doesn't matter. Well done, good and faithful servant." How is that? I'll tell you why. It's because God is easily pleased. God is easily pleased. This happened because God is gracious, and he delights even in our feeble but blood-stained efforts. And I want you to have that view of God tonight. It's important that you have that view of God tonight, that he is eager to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And then notice the sinful response. Notice the sinful response in verse 18. "But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money." Verse 24. "He who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.'" So notice here, he isn't criticized for only receiving 1 talent. That's fine. I believe that if he invested his 1 talent, he would have had the exact same reward as the other 2. But this third man, he hid his talent in the ground. He refused to serve God. This man is representative of every non-Christian. Perhaps they use their gifts, but not to the glory of God. Not out of love for God. Not out of thankfulness to God. And yet some Christians can be like this. God gives them gifts, and they do nothing for the kingdom of God. They have a knowledge of Christ, but they tell nobody. They have homes, but no hospitality. They have pay, but no tithe. They're fit and healthy, but they're paralytics in the kingdom of God. They view the church as a restaurant. I'll come, I'll get my meal, and I'll leave. I was speaking to a man about a year or two ago, and he said, I don't need the church. That was his view of the church. I don't need the church. Well, you do need the church, but who cares if you need the church? You are to serve the church. Selfish. Notice his excuses in verse 24. He also, who had received the one talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seeds. Notice there's two insinuations here. One is that the master didn't deserve the profits. And two, that he's blaming the character of the master. Did you notice that? He's blaming the character of the master. You're harsh. You're severe. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, come to me, all who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what Jesus says. But this man says, no, you're severe and you're harsh. And this is important tonight. We must not imagine for a moment that God is severe, that God is unrelenting. Remember what Jonah said. He said that God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. If your God is ungenerous, you will not step out in faith. If your God is unbenevolent, you will hoard and you will revert into a self-dependence. If your God is tight-fisted, then you'll be tight-fisted. If you view God as harsh or stingy, you will be paralyzed in the kingdom of God. That's why I read from 2 Kings chapter 4 with Elisha. You saw the widow, and she's pouring the oil, and the vet. God didn't stop. They didn't stop because God stopped producing oil. She stopped because she ran out of vessels. That's the view we're to have of God. And if our God is ungenerous, then we will not step out in faith. Now, why did he actually refuse to serve the master? Perhaps he's being honest here. Perhaps he was genuinely afraid to step out in faith because he had this skewed understanding of who God is. But we're given two reasons in verse 26. One, that he was slothful. That he was lazy. Well, I'll leave it to the other two. I'll leave it to the Baptists. They can do all the kingdom work. Another reason is that he was wicked. Perhaps too proud, too selfish to serve the Lord. Too hateful to see the master profit. That's going to be the motivation of our service to God is love. Why would you serve God? Why should you serve God? Because you feel obligated? No, out of love. Serve him because you love him. Finally, I want you to see the reckoning. I want you to see the reckoning in verse 19. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Accept the reality that we will stand before God. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what's due for what he's done in the body, whether good or evil. Now, here's this third man. He belonged to the household, but he wasn't a true servant. He was like 5 of the 10 virgins in the passage below. He was like some in the visible church who'd been exposed by his lack of service. And notice the judgment upon him. He's condemned in verse 26 and 27. He's stripped in verse 28 and 29. And he's punished in verse 30. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, in that place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. These are sobering words. They should make us pause and reflect how serious our duty is as servants to, in love, serve the Lord. When I was in seminary, they tried to teach me how to preach. And one of the things they told me is, don't finish your sermon with a bunch of questions. So here's 7 questions. I've been examining myself. I'm not a hypocrite. As I read these, think about these, and perhaps even write them down. 1. What gifts has God given me? 2. Am I faithfully stewarding God's gifts to me? 3. How can I be poured out further? 4. Is my mindset, is my attitude, is my outlook shaped by living for, by striving for reaching for, well done, good and faithful servant? 5, and this is an important one. They're all important. Do I believe that God is harsh? 6, if God is generous, if he's not harsh, if he's generous, how does that affect how I steward God's gifts, both now and in the future? And 7, why am I serving the Lord? Is it because I have to or because I get to? Peter says in 1 Peter 4, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we rejoice tonight that you are coming again. And we know that even as we wait for you and watch for you, you have given us gifts. You have entrusted us to be faithful servants. And you've not left us to do that in our own strength. You have given us gifts from above, and you've given us the Holy Spirit to help us. And we pray tonight that you would help us to be active, faithful, reaching servants. Lord, we pray that nothing would hold us back. We pray that our thoughts of you, that our theology would not hold us back. Help us to believe that you are good, that you are generous, that you are for us, that if we were to provide the vessels, you would pour out the oil. Help us to be faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.